This is the Father Matters Show with your host, Vance Sims. Father Matters is committed to building stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And now, your host, Vance Sims.
Welcome to the Father Matters Show. I'm your host, Vance Sims. Thank you for joining us on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ. We have returning guests, my man Stu Burns from Bank of America. Welcome back to the Father Matter Show, Stu.
Hey, glad to be here. Always glad to meet with Vance. So,
yeah. Well, Stu, it's that time of the year, man. Tax time is right around the corner, so I knew I had to get you back into the studio. And another reason why I wanted to get you back into the studio, because in January, you wrote an awesome article about finances, and it did really well, really well. And I said, Stu, let's get you back in here because it's tax time. People are emailing us about finances. And one of the things that you wrote, and you can get Stu's article if you go to the fathermatters.org website, click on Tribune, go to January. And I think we titled that one, Reviewing Your Finances. Okay, so if you want to get Stu's full article about what we're going to talk about today, because obviously we're not going to be able to cover it all, go to fathermatters.org, click on the Father Matters Tribune, go to January, and you will get Stu's full article. Now, Stu, you started it off, you said, I'm going to read a little bit because I have your article right here. You said, every January we hear the president give a speech in which they try to summarize the current state of the union and set goals for our country in the coming year. It's important that we do the same thing annually and take a look at the current state of our finances and determine our goals and progress we are making. So under reviewing your finances, Stu, you said determine if your goals have changed and review what went well and what you can improve from last year. Why should we, especially right now at tax time, why should we review our financial goals, dude?
Yeah, absolutely. This should be a regular course. Again, just like the president does the State of the Union, you need to reevaluate your situation because a lot of things can change. But one of the things, too, is just being wise with your money. Because it, especially with taxes, there's different things you can be doing possibly to take advantage of write-offs and so forth. But one of the things is you know, while we're dealing with finances and people trying to get ahead or try to revamp their finances, that's exactly why we want to write those goals. And we'll be talking about some of those goals in just a moment when we discuss what are SMART goals. But basically, we want to see where we are because those kind of goals have to be measurable. They have to be realistic. We have to have something to shoot for. So, for example, if I had a couple credit cards I wanted to pay off last year and I'm not making any kind of progress on that, then I need to revamp those goals because, you know, one of the things I probably would want to do is pay down some debt or just to save more. So it could be either one depending on the person's situation out there.
What else? What else should we do regarding reviewing our financial goals?
Right. Yeah, one would be take a look at, like, a lot of people also start getting possible raises, you know, every year around the same time. So you could look at where that extra money is going to go. You could look at maybe where money is going to go that you have paid down, like if some debt is cleared up. Now where do I want to revamp that money? And put it towards paying down, like, the next closest goal or debt, so to speak. So you're going to want to take a look at always reviewing that because it's a constant changing thing with the economy. So I can't stress that enough. While we're discussing finances and teaching the classes, that's one of the things with budgeting is you have to know how your income is coming in, if it's changing at all. And then you also have to look at your expenditures. So those are the two main starting points for creating a successful budget because, you know, you want to set yourself up to win as well. So that's why you really have to determine if your goals have changed, you know, or any kind of situations have changed like that.
I love another part you wrote about personal situation. You said, are there any changes that you might see coming that will affect your finances? And it's funny that you're on today because just this last week In 1 week, my car broke down and the AC went out. And, you know, Raina and I are like, what is going on? But you know what was awesome? We had that little cushion money put to the side that we was able to get, not only get the car repaired, but get the AC fixed. And here you said about also job changes, retiring, marriages, you know, what else could happen in a personal situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good ones. Those are some of the major ones that you want to take an accounting of. Like when you start looking at the new year, I recommend that everybody and couples even, you know, take a day possibly or take some time just to review one, as we discussed just a minute ago, talking about your different your goals for the upcoming year. But then also, you know, take a look at those situations that have changed. You know, do you have a child possibly coming? That could be a big change for a married couple. You know, do you have a job change that you can foresee happening, or something that did just happen, you know, at the end of the year that's going to possibly affect your finances going forward for this new year that you want to take accounting for? So all of those big life-changing events, you really want to make sure that you're cognizant of, evaluate how they're going to affect your finances for better or worse, and then go from there while you're doing your new budget and like planning out your next year.
Right, and I love that because our oldest daughter is about to turn 16, so the car talk is coming up. Hmm. And Raina and I, we were sitting down with our daughter. We're letting her know, okay, even if we paid cash for a car, you know, how are we going to get the insurance paid for? Because insurance for teen drivers is higher than anything, okay? So get the insurance paid for, gas, car repairs, you know, the maintenance, keeping it clean. You know, our daughter, we just don't want her to think you just get it and start it. It's supposed to always have gas in it, and it's going to always work. And so it's that personal situation, you know, Raina and I sitting back is like, well, just because she's about to turn 16, yes, you can get your license, but that don't mean you're going to get a car right now, because things like, right, look what just what happened. The AC went out.
Right.
And move into the asset review that you wrote about.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing you wrote was home insurance. Now, mm-hmm, when I mentioned that the AC went out, and people's like, well, barely April. What are you talking about AC? Because, you know, we've got listeners all over the country. We live in Phoenix, Arizona. It could be 80 degrees in January out here.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, we do have home insurance. And so when the AC guy came out, it cost us $59.59 for repair. I asked him, if we didn't have this under warranty, how much would this visit have cost us? This visit would have cost us over $400, dude.
Wow.
Because of the stuff, he had to rewire some things, and, you know, whoever tampered in the home before we owned it, you know, he looked at it. He said this, the person or the persons that worked on this AC in the past were not contractors. From the way he did his, you know, the way he looked at it, wires was in the wrong place. This would have been a $400 blow to us if we didn't say, hey, we got to make sure we got the home insurance covered. Mm-hmm. So you got home insurance, car insurance, health insurance, will, estate planning. Why did you, mm-hmm, put that?
Yeah, those are some pretty important things to make sure that you have set out. You hit on like a couple of really great things too while we've been talking. One of them is talking about having that emergency fund. So that's going to go back up into just being wise, and we can, you know, readdress that in a minute. So having that little fund to fall back on, because we all know, again, like you're saying, living in Arizona, you know, with all the construction we have out here, if anybody doesn't have a flat tire in 6 years, you know, I haven't met them yet almost.
Sure.
But
or crack windshield.
Right. Exactly. So you have both of those with all the construction we have out here. And then you have those little things like you're saying, like AC. And I used to get into that discussion with my mom because she would call me stressed out and say, I have this and this. The washer's going apart now, and I'm going to have that fixed. And I was kind of like, Mom, you got to sit back and, you know, don't necessarily stress over it, but understand that these are, you know, maybe unforeseen as far as timing, but they're not unforeseen eventually happening. You know, eventually we know something will happen with the car. Eventually we know appliances will go. So those kind of things, you know, is a little bit foreseeable because you just know that it is going to happen. But you had, you know, you had the wisdom to address like some of the insurance and, And things like that. Because, you know, readdressing your insurance, things can change. Like, for example, Teresa and I live in that little, you know, historic house. And eventually, just to get a little more room, we had to build an extension on it. And I wasn't even thinking about what the impact was on my insurance. But then discussing it with an insurance agent, I found out that, like, the main structure was covered, but I did need to increase the insurance. So it doesn't cost me much, you know, just to add probably, you know, a few dollars a month actually to the total. But I had to make sure that the structure is covered that we built as well, because it's, you know, almost a guest quarters, if you will. So that became really important when I was thinking about it. Like, what if something had happened to our house and I just lost that? And then, you know, that wouldn't have been covered by insurance. So you want to evaluate things like that if you're, especially if you've done any home improvements, if you've gotten any, probably any kind of big ticket items like jewelry, things like that, can sometimes you might need to evaluate what you have in the house to make sure it's going to be covered if, you know, your house, you know, did burn down or things like that. Because if you've all of a sudden have a few of the bigger ticket items, you probably want to make sure they're covered. One of the last ones there I was hitting on is that wills and estates. And that one is just to be diligent, because you want to make sure that what happens with anything that you may have after you leave is in accordance with what you want and not necessarily what the particular state you live in wants. So if you can take the time to outline either a will or set up a trust, you know, that'll help you to pass on anything that you might want to, you know, the way you would like to and to who you'd like it to go.
And since it is like right around tax time, we're talking home insurance, car insurance, health insurance, estate planning. How important is it to make sure we keep record of all the stuff that we pay, because we can benefit from this during tax time, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do a great thing. My wife is one of her strengths is absolutely organizational skills. So what we do is we actually have a database set up and at home. So when we're doing a monthly tithings and donations and things like that, it gets plugged right in. So at the end of the year, it literally took me, you know, 10 seconds to print out the page, and it had it itemized the amounts during the year that we'd given to each particular organization and things like that. So that right when I was doing my taxes, I had it like right there to do. So I would recommend definitely keeping very good track of when you're doing donations or things that you may want to use as a write-off during tax season, because that's it doesn't have to take you a long time necessarily to do taxes if you have it organized.
Well, what I want to do after this commercial break is get back into tips of what you were just talking about. You're listening to The Father Matters Show with Vance Sims. And today's guest is Stu Burns from Bank of America. And we are talking about the state of our finances. We'll hear more from Stu after this. Hi, this is Vance Sims, host of The Father Matters Show. Would you consider partnering with us? Father Matters is a nonprofit ministry that's listener-supported and relies on donations and grants. All funds raised go directly to Father Matters mentoring programs for families, which means that your donation will help important projects that service children and families. For more information about partnering with us, log on to fathermatters.org. and click the Donate to Father Matters icon. Together, let's build stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And we're back with Stu Burns from Bank of America. If you're just tuning in, you can catch the top of the show at fathermatters.org. Also, catch the Father Matters Show nationally every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time by logging on to blogtalkradio.com. Or catch our archive shows anytime worldwide at soundcloud.com. Stu, before we go any further, we have the commercial break. I want to go back to what you were saying, how you would save everything throughout the year. So would it take you literally 10, 15, 20 seconds to print out everything you needed to do for tax time? Can we go back and slowly unpack that and And let's talk about the how-tos. You know, everyone may not have a computer, or people who do have a computer will say, you know what, every year I'm trying to find my kids' doctor's appointments. I'm calling the doctors to have them send me or print out or email me. What is the smart way to do this? And you said you're doing it, but unpack this slowly so someone can be ready. If they can't be ready for the next, you know, we're right around the corner, a week or so right around the corner from taxes, they can be ready for the 2016 taxes. What is a good way to do this?
Yeah, that's a real good topic to address, because, you know, like I said, we set it up in a database. So right when we make the payment to any particular organization or church, it's gonna go right to this database, and at the end of the year, it'll print right out. Another way to do it, though, is you could start tracking it, like, even if you have to do it by getting just a notebook. Get one of those Mead notebooks over at the dollar store for, you know, 99 cents, and go ahead and start maybe tracking it, like, on the different pages. Especially, that's a good one, too, because you have to meet certain thresholds with medical expenses, and if you have kids, and all of that starts adding up, or as I'm finding out now with my elderly mom, starting to get into the caregiver type of frame, too, or point in my life where I actually, you know, I'm going to start, like, tracking that, and I don't know if I would be able to necessarily write it off, but we are getting, like, to that place where I'm having to devote a little more time and money, you know, to help care for my mom. So that's one way, though, you can do it, though, that I would suggest, which everyone, I think you have access to either a notebook, maybe some note paper. So if you don't have a computer, then at least start keeping a nice track like that when you're doing it. Prescriptions can be written off. So you want to keep track of all those type of things with the medical, your glasses, if you go to the eye doctor, and that kind of stuff can be included in it.
Well, you know, Raina and I have 5 kids at home. One's about to be 16. What Raina does every year, man, we have envelopes. And she will save $20 here, $10 there, $100 here. And we have, you know, an envelope for major needs. We have a Christmas envelope. You know, and I want to give credit where it's due. This is Raina's doing, because, see, I'm saying this because when Christmas comes, we do cash, and we do cash only. So when we go Christmas shopping and when Christmas is over, everything is bought and paid for. Okay? But it'd be from January, the beginning of the year, till Christmas, where she will just, again, put 5 here, 20 there, 10 there. And we have a budget that we're going to spend. Mm-hmm. You know, say, hey, this is it for the year, because we don't just do Christmas. You know, we do the movies throughout the year. We take a family vacation in the summer. So we don't just wait for one big day. So she has an envelope marked Christmas. She has an envelope for car repairs, envelope for emergencies, you know, envelope for birthdays. We have 4 kids under the age of 11. So they're still at that. It's birthday party time, invitations, you know, Chuck E. Cheese, Peter Piper type thing.
Right.
But we still will have to pay during birthdays. We still may have to pay during Christmas. But you know what? It feels a whole lot better, my man. We only got to add $100 at Christmas time to the Christmas envelope. Yeah. It feels really good. When my car broke down last week, it was already what we need to pay. You know, the difference already in the envelope. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You know, can you touch on that? Like you said, I love how you said, you know, save all this stuff, put it on the computer. She does that as well. But something as simple as the envelope, when Valentine's ended.
Yeah, even envelopes, like you're saying. Yeah. Though, if you don't have, let's say, a notebook, you could keep your receipts. Like, just, I mean, you could do it that way too. So at the end of the year, you have an envelope, let's say, for medical receipts and school receipts or donations. So you could do it that way as well. So there's no right or wrong for anybody out there. So be creative with it. Do what's best for you, for your particular, you know, organization and how you like to do it. So that's, you know, that's a good way to approach it, because a lot of this with the finances, you know, is definitely, you have to customize it to the way you work and the way your family situation is, the way you want it, like what you're more comfortable with. Just like we discussed, I think last time I was here, we were talking about checking accounts.
Sure.
And, you know, is it best to have your own when you get married, or should a married couple, like, do they have to have just one account together? And the answer to that is either one is right. You know, it depends on what you're both comfortable with, because, you know, if you like having the freedom to have some money in each account, then there's nothing wrong with that. And if you work with the one account, then there's equally nothing wrong with that.
Right. And also, what about smart shopping. I know we're talking about saving money, have your insurance and everything. Again, credit where credit is due. It's funny how in the summertime, because Raina will start shopping in the summer. And I'm like, what is Barbie dolls doing in the closet? You know, because she hides them from the kids. Or what is this in the closet? Or why we got this truck for our son? What's going on? Because it's funny how, because she'll find stuff on clearance on off seasons. And that same baby doll that she bought in the middle of, or Barbie doll she bought in the middle of July, is $8-$9 more expensive between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right.
You know, when Valentine's just ended, she'll go and buy $20 worth of Valentine cards. But if she would have bought them a week before Valentine's, it would have been $35-$40 because when Halloween is over, you know, you can't do the candy. But Valentine, she will go and everything's 50% off. Christmas time, wrapping paper. We got our closet full of wrapping paper right now. Christmas was just a few months away. But when we wrap gifts for the kids, the nephews, the grandparents, all that, we probably would have spent $60, $70 just in wrapping paper, and she spent $20 on that same amount.
Right. Yeah, those are good things to be aware of. And, you know, there's a lot of in the Bible we could talk about with just with going into wisdom as well. But just the way we handle money, you know, I think that the Lord really, he entrusts us with it. And we owe it to him to basically be wise with our money, you know, in all ways. And that's what one of the things, too, you know, after that, we can touch back a little bit on those SMART goals, which is something that, that we would want to talk to. But with that, just being smart in general with shopping, I used to, like, not see the big value in coupons at the store. I thought it was, like, took too much time and everything. But Trista does that quite a bit. And then when I start going to the store and all of a sudden they're giving me a receipt and they're like, you just saved 50% of what you would have, you know, been spending and we're buying the normal stuff.
And that's what Randa, and also the gas points.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I very rarely go to the supermarket with it because, one, I drive her crazy because it's like as soon as we get there, I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. And then when we get there, she'll have her list. But now since I haven't been to the grocery store with her in a month or so, I'm looking at this. Oh, let's get this. Let's get that. Now where she's trying to save, I just added $40 extra. But like you said, the coupons, the gas points, she will sit there and cut those things, man.
Right. Yeah, and it does add up. That's what I was thinking. Like after I started seeing that, I'm like, man, like why would I want to pay, you know, 50% more, you know, or basically if I save 50%, I'm paying 100% more. But why would I pay double, you know, for the same items that we were just going to buy when it really, you know, was just taking a little bit of time maybe to either know what's on sale. Like if you go to one of our local supermarkets, Fry's, and they have that. If you buy like five different items.
Oh, she's the master
you
at that.
You get the sale on that.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And I love what you were saying, the wisdom that the word was saying, you know, and what would you have, Proverbs 13:11?
Right. Yeah, that's one of them that I like to use. And that's just talking about like we do owe it to work diligently and that we should always be aware of what we're doing with our money. And that basically Proverbs 13:11 says, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. And
powerful.
I think the thing with that is you know, when we think that there's a lot of shortcuts to saving, and I was just talking about this very thing with my buddy, talking about, you know, that, you know, we're at a point where, you know, our retirement savings is fairly significant after 20 years. But, you know, I happened to mention with my buddy, sometimes I would have loved for it to go a little bit faster. But the thing is that, you know, that's the way, if you want to do it right, you're going to probably want to just do those little things, save diligently over time, and then it's going to start to grow for you. But yeah, don't expect it to happen overnight. And
well, Stu, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I want to thank you for listening to the Father Matters show. Send us your questions or comments to info@fathermatters.org. Thank you to my engineer, Jeremy Siegel. See you next week at the same time, same place. Have a safe week. Thank you, and God bless. Thank you.